Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Pastor James, thank you. And just to give a little quick summary, when Pastor James mentioned that he wanted to do a Founders Day for the Every Nation Founders, I do want to say this and acknowledge that when we started this global movement just over 20 years ago, Bethel was one of the founding churches. There were about seven churches: Phil's church in LA, our church in Manila, we had a church in Bangladesh, one in Guam, and Bethel. And was a founding member of this movement. And through the years now, we're working in around 80 nations of the world. And what we do simply is this: we are about planting churches and campus ministries in every nation. It's just that simple, planting churches and campus ministries in every nation. So far, we've gotten about 80. We started with just a few, and in these years, now we're up to 80. Depending on which list you look at and which month of the year it is, there are anywhere from 189, 190, up to 196 nations. For instance, sometimes some lists count Taiwan as a nation, some count it as a province of China, okay? So things like that. Some count Texas as a nation, others count it as a state in Mississippi. So there are some discrepancies. Did I say state in America? All right, this is, sorry. And some people count Canada as simply Northern Dakota, okay? There's South Dakota, North Dakota, and even more. But there are different lists, and so one way or the other, we're about 45% there. All right, and so one day we will be in every nation, and hopefully we'll continually be doing ministry, planting churches and campus ministries in more nations as time goes on. And if we're still at 80 nations 10 years from now, then we have failed, okay? We'll change our name to Some Nations. But right now, it's every nation. That's the call. That's the reminder of who we are and why we're here. And I want to... Boy, this is way off the script, Pastor James, but when you said a moment ago when you were calling us up here, and this is the third service doing this, and it's been different every single service. But I do want to say this. Pastor James mentioned sacrifice. I want to tell you honestly, I have never felt like I've sacrificed anything at all to do and pursue the call of God. I really haven't. But I do want to say this, and I've never heard Rice talk about sacrifice or Phil, although Phil did complain a little bit about hardships at the 9 o'clock service. How he runs away from them. You were way too honest, Phil. You said what the rest of us like to think we're more spiritual. But anyway, listen to that podcast. It was fantastic. But I do want to say this, and this applies. And I've never heard my wife talk about sacrifice. I've never heard any of the people. But I do want to say this. Most people in ministry who do what we do, the pastor, people like us, the prophet, the evangelist, the whatever, they get a lot of credit, and in reality, it's the wives who do most of the sacrifice. And I want to acknowledge that. I know Jody has sacrificed much for Rice to be able to do what Rice does. And Rice made reference to that earlier in his sermon at the 10 o'clock service, how, you know, he had a little comment of Jody saying, "Yeah, Rice, I know you're out winning someone to the Lord, but dinner is cold and we're almost finished." And there's a lot of sacrifice. And I know Karen has sacrificed a lot. The burden that Phil carries, but he doesn't carry it home. And yet it's there, and there's the burden. And like other pastors, I know my wife has sacrificed so much of being overseas when family members died and funerals and weddings and things that we miss. And so there's a lot of sacrifice. I could go through the pastors' wives in this room. Debbie and Christy and Carol's back there. I think we quarantined Bruce. He's sick, so he's in a room back there behind glass. Nobody shake his hand. Hi, Bruce. We love you, Bruce. But really, pastors' wives get very little recognition. They get a lot of criticism. They get a lot of judgment, and no pastor's wife in the history of the church has ever measured up to what the congregation wants. It's impossible because it's an unwritten job description, and it's different because everybody has one in their head of what that pastor's wife is supposed to be, and they measure up to one, and then there's 300 others that don't like the way that role is rolling out. And so I want to take a moment, and I would just like to acknowledge and just thank you for our wives, Karen and Jody and Deborah. Could we give them a big hand for all that they have done to help make this ministry what it is? I also want to say, acknowledge Bethel. That's you, okay? You. That's not the sign, and it's not just Pastor James. This Bethel, this church family, we really are reaching a city and touching a world. That's not just a slogan. And I know when Rice and Jody first came here, that was the vision, not just to be a mega church that reached one city, but from this to reach the world. Pastor James gets on a plane tomorrow. I can't say where he's going because we're podcasting, or not, what do you call it, live streaming. But he's going to a restricted nation where our friends, people we work with at Every Nation, have been in prison, and they've been tortured, and he's going to that nation. It's a 10-day trip that he's going on. With some Every Nation people. He'll meet our leaders in that nation. It's supposed to be 10 days. If he's not back in 10 days, we promised him we will take care of his kids. And we will not come visit you. But we'll pray for you for a change in that government so that you could be free. But we're believing. It's times like this when I'm glad I'm a Calvinist. All right, edit that. Okay. But seriously, This church is reaching the nations, and can we pray for Pastor James for a moment? Lord, thank you for Pastor James and Pastor Ron Lewis and the others going on this mission trip in this nation where you are doing amazing things, and yet it's restricted, and it's illegal, and it's underground. Lord, I pray your hand would be on Pastor James. I pray you keep him well, keep him safe, keep him strong, and use him mightily as a prophet to that nation. Lord, you're sending him as a prophet to that nation. So, Lord, open the doors and put him in front of the right people. Lord, I pray that when he leaves, we'll have more churches than when he got there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Pastor, we'll see you next week. Well, I won't. I'll be at Every Nation New York City. All right. I was asked to give a quick Every Nation update, and then I have not a sermon. I don't have a sermon this afternoon. I have what I think is a prophetic word for Bethel, all right, and I'll give you that. But let me give you real quickly, let's run through. Can you put the pictures up there? Okay, not that one. Go to the next. We're going to speed through this. Next one, next one, next one, next one. There we go. I was I just came back from 7 weeks in Asia, and I stopped on the way to minister at our Every Nation Leadership School in Hawaii. On the left is Joe Onasai. Joe's a big Samoan, and Joe leads one of our churches on the island. On the right is our brand new building in Pearl City, and we have 7 services now in the new building. There's a Friday night, a Saturday night, and 5 Sunday services. And it's a brand new building. It's just opened a few months ago, and it's already too small. Wouldn't that be wonderful when that happens at Bethel? By the time we get in our new building, it's already too small. Some of you are going, no, 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 yes. Because that building's not just for us. If it's only for us, we don't even need a new building. That building is for the thousands we haven't reached yet, not the thousands we've already reached. And so we were celebrating with Pastor Norman. Next one, right after that, I was at our 20-year anniversary of Every Nation Singapore. And that was a great moment there of worship and celebrating 20 years. Next one, what is the next one? You know what, go to the next one. This was a couple of weeks ago. This is Rice with a Filipino congressman, Manny Pacquiao, okay, who's also a UFC fighter, I think. Or now he's also a boxer, but he's a congressman in the Philippines. And there is Rice showing him how to use the God test. And Manny's excited about the God test. Hit the next one. And I mentioned Pastor Norman, our new Every Nation building in Hawaii. This is our Every Nation building in Manila. On the left is the building that's been there 12 years. On the right, the building is almost finished. And I just put that out there to show you a vision. This is a training school. We have a school to train campus missionaries. We have a school to train church planters. We have a school that trains pastors. We have a school that trains cross-cultural missionaries. We just had our graduating class from our mission school in May. We had 40 students from 11 nations, and they now have gone to 22 nations, including new nations where we're planting churches in Azerbaijan. And we've got a team going to Cambodia, Afghanistan, so many nations, 22 nations that our graduates are, most of them are already there now. On my flight to Malaysia a few weeks ago, I'm going through the Manila airport, and I hear this voice. It's crowded. You're elbowing your way to the gate, and I hear this voice, Pastor Steve. And I turn around, and there's a sea of people, and then somebody steps in the front, and I can't tell you this lady's name or the nation. She was on her way. She's one of our missionaries, Every Nation missionaries, in a restricted nation where people are imprisoned for their faith, and there she was. She had just finished her support team, and we sat there and talked, and I listened to her for 45 minutes tell me stories. And the nation we're in, where she was going, we started about a year ago, and she was on her way back, and we already have 40 locals from a different faith who have come to faith in Christ, and that is a huge church in that nation, and they're risking so much. And we sat there and chatted, and I almost missed my flight. I was asking story after story after story, and a bomb went off that hit the news really big a few months ago. Well, I saw it on the news in the States, and that was about 1 kilometer from where our church meets, where a bomb blew up and a bunch of people were killed. Right, and I bump into this Every Nation missionary there in the airport. This single lady who is serving out there, right on the edge of danger. And so, we have some wonderful things. But she was trained in our cross-cultural mission school. So we're about to cut the ribbon on the building on the right that'll house all of those schools. I think that's it. Let me give you the word that the Lord gave me for you. Now, one other thing, I had a note here. This year, Rice just returned. He just spent 10 days in Manila ministering in our churches all over. And that's the church that he asked Deborah and I to go on a one-month mission trip in 1984 to the Philippines. That 1 month turned into 2 and then 6 and then year after year after year. It's been 32 years since that church started. But this year, in the first 2 quarters of this year, in the Philippines, we've baptized over 8,287 new believers through the first 2 quarters of this year. Those are not hands being raised. Those are disciples being baptized. All right? Now, today's message, what I have for you, there were 2 great sermons that were preached earlier. Pastor Phil at the 9 o'clock, Bishop Rice at the 10 o'clock. I'm not giving you a sermon. I'm going to give you a simple word. At some point in every building program, every pastor throughout the history of the church has read the scripture I'm about to read. I'm sure it's happened here, and so if it's already happened, then I would really like you to try to dial in and hear what I feel like I want to say to our church family through this scripture. And here it is in Isaiah 54. You know the passage, Isaiah 54. It's on the screen. Verse 3, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you were spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and people the desolate cities. Now, if we want to do what this verse says, spread abroad, that's what it says, possess the nations, then there are some things we have to do. I believe God's purpose and plan for Bethel is to spread abroad and that our next generation will possess the nations. So if we want that to happen, number one, he says, enlarge the place of your tent. We've talked about that. We're doing that. The parking lot's becoming a larger tent. I would say it like this, enlarge your vision. Think bigger, dream bigger. Get around people who think bigger and dream bigger. But we've already talked about that. We're already doing. We're getting a larger tent over there. So let's go to the next one. Then he says this, let your curtains be stretched wide. Isaiah says, stretch your curtains. I'll say it like this, stretch your faith. There was nothing wrong with the curtain that they had. Don't replace it, just stretch it. Some of you need to hear that. There's nothing wrong with it, it just needs to be stretched. Stretching is not comfortable. About 25 years ago, I was on one of those pastor's retreats in the Philippines. We were up on a Mount Makiling. We were up at the top of this mountain, up in another little hut, like the one I talked about. I was with Rice, and we were playing basketball. And I steal the ball. I'll never forget the moment. I'm dribbling. I'm crossing half court. I'm seeing in my mind this. I'm jumping from the top of the key, not the free throw line, top of the key, and I'm going to go in tongue out and dunk it, okay? In my mind. It's all happening in my mind. What really happened is I'm dribbling down. Nobody's anywhere near me. And then I follow my face at half court. Right when I did that, everybody heard what sounded like a baseball bat breaking in half. It was my Achilles. I knew at that moment what happened. I snapped my Achilles tendon. Now, they pick me up and they carry me like an African tribal king. Put me in the car. We're way out in the middle of nowhere in the Philippines, and they take me to what the sign said hospital, but I'm not sure what it actually was. And they x-ray me, and the guy comes out, and he's showing me the x-rays, and he's pointing at this bone right here going, see, you've dislocated this bone, and there, I'm going, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Look, right here, I snapped my Achilles. You can see it's not there. It's supposed to be there. It's gone. My foot's wobbling like this. There's nothing there. And he goes, no, it's up here, and I lean over to Joey and Manny and Ferdinand and say, get me out of here before he amputates something. And so they carry me, put me in the car. We go back on the top of the mountain and finish our retreat. They had to carry me around the whole time. Then finally, I got down to a real hospital and a real doctor who told me what I had already self-diagnosed. I snapped my Achilles. So now, I'm in a cast, and the way they fix an Achilles, they pointed my toe. I mean, they bend it down where it's pointing straight down. So that where the Achilles, it's like a rubber band has snapped, and it's sort of coiled up there and down. They put it together, and my toe is straight down for 6 weeks in a cast. Now, when the cast comes off, I need a high heel because I didn't get one, but it won't move. It's grown back together, and now the physical therapist gave me these exercises to stretch that tendon out. It needed several inches of stretching. That was painful. It was not comfortable. So you know what I did? I was supposed to have 3 months of stretching. I did about 2 weeks, and I just quit. Ta-da, just too uncomfortable, too painful. And so here's, as a result, I could have had 3 months of painful stretching, and all would be well for the rest of my life. But because I didn't want to stretch, I did it for a couple of weeks, and for the next 3 years, no exact 3 years, every morning for the first, depending on how cold or hot it was, for at least the first 2 hours, every morning for 3 years, I was in excruciating pain as I hobbled around, and then if it was cold, it would last more than several hours. Throughout much of the day, it would be painful because I refused to stretch. So listen, we're talking about stretching our faith. It's not comfortable. Stretching is never comfortable. When you get around Bishop Rice and Pastor Phil and Pastor James, they are always stretching your faith. Let them stretch it. Because if you don't, it'll be temporary pain if we stretch properly, or we can refuse, and then we'll create pain much longer. So what is the word? What is the word? Enlarge your vision. Stretch your faith. Next, he says, lengthen your cords. I'll say it like this, lengthen your reach. For Bethel, lengthen your reach. Okay, you're reaching your campus. You're reaching your city. We're reaching our nation. But what about the next campus, the next city, the next nation? Where's our next campus outreach? What about UT? What about UTC? What about Alabama, Auburn? What is our next campus? Okay, we're reaching Vanderbilt and MTSU and Austin Peay and Lipscomb and Belmont and Fisk. But what about the next one? Lengthen your reach. What about the next city? Okay, yeah, Murfreesboro, Clarksville. But what about Louisville? What about Knoxville? What about Birmingham? What is the next city? We can't be content where we are. There's always a what's next. What's the next campus? What's the next city? What's the next nation? Who's the next campus missionary? They might be in your home. It might be your son. It might be your daughter. And finally, he says, strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. That's talking about the foundation. The stake is the part you don't see. You stick it down in the ground. And listen, Bethel, we're building a new building, and it's going to be filled with people, but what we need to do is strengthen foundations. That's not the most exciting part of ministry, but it is the most important part of ministry. I remember years ago, and I'll close with this thought. Years ago, when our friend, who's a part of our church here, Mark, he's from a Middle Eastern nation, and he was arrested for his faith, and he was in prison. And when he was arrested, and many other people in our church in his nation were also arrested, and some of them left the faith while they were in jail. And Mark and I were talking about it later. And he said, Pastor Steve, I need to do a better job of laying foundations in new believers' lives. He didn't say, I need to figure out how to do ministry so we won't get caught. He didn't say, I need to figure out how to avoid persecution. What he said was, I need to figure out how to put stronger foundations. Because inevitably, persecution and storms and difficult times are coming. It doesn't matter what your eschatological view is. It's just a part of Christian life. And if we're going to survive them, we will survive to the degree that we have strong and deep and biblical foundations. And so, Bethel, we're going to have a wave of growth. It doesn't matter. We're going to have it. If it's strong and solid and healthy growth, will be totally dependent on the foundations. Growing is not the issue. Depth is the issue. And so let's strengthen the stakes. Let's strengthen the foundations. Why? And what it says in verse 3, because why do all the strengthening and stretching and lengthening and go to the expense and the trouble and all the stuff that goes with growth? Why? Because here's what he says. You will spread to the right and the left, and your next generation will possess the nations. Everything we're doing right now, Bethel, is about the next generation and the next nation. It's not about us. It's not because we want a larger screen and a more comfortable pew. Everything we're doing, growing, lengthening, strengthening, stretching, it says there, so the next generation. We're doing fine, but we're building for the next generation to reach the next nation. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for all that you're doing in and through this church. And Lord, I pray that we will spread to the right and to the left, and the next generation will possess the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was powerful. You stand to your feet. You do know, if you've been here any length of time, and I've done a poor job of repeating this over the last 12 months, but that is the scripture, Pastor Steve, that God gave us prophetically to launch. That's the one. And you brought actual new meaning and freshness to it, and actually gave us... gave me a way, through the grace of God, to focus us as a congregation on how to apply that beyond the fact that we're obeying God by building. I think that was powerful and profound, and I'm grateful that you gave a word to our church specific to us. We need encouragement, church, and in a moment when we're seeking to encourage you guys, I'm so grateful that you encourage us. As we dismiss, I'd like you three to just come stand with me, Pastor Phil, Pastor Stephen, ministry team, you can come down and get ready to do ministry.